Howard Kane made an urgent call to Senator Charlie Sapper. "Hold, I'm patching to Unwin Fox." When all three of them were on the line, Kane said, "I've just heard there's been a sighting of Mr. H in the East Coast states."
"Idiots. Why didn't he stay off the radar?"
Fox was pacing in his office in Langley. "Many possibilities?" Kane felt agitated. "Maybe he's being careless. Maybe he's come back to see his wife, or maybe..." He left the last sentence unfinished.
"What do we do?"
asked Sapper.
"I don't know."
Kane composed himself. "The sighting is credible. Before taking over his job, I was duty-bound to inform the military and the feds that Mr. H was missing. Obviously, they knew nothing about Germany, but they've taken his disappearance seriously. The guy's a trained killer and carries Category 1 secrets in his head. They don't want him on the loose. We do, but only if he doesn't come up for air and get captured. If that happens, certainly he'll use the Berlin mission to mitigate his crime of theft. Then we're screwed."
"You bastard, Kane!"
Sapper was shouting.
"It's one thing if the fallout had been only months after the hit. 3 years makes it look like I'm a conspirator, trying to suppress the truth of a covert op. Mr. H, as you call him, can't stir things up this far down the line."
"I know, I know!"
The last thing Kane needed was for the Berlin operatives to panic. "I have a plan. Let's meet at Charlie's house at 9 p.m. I'll bring some of my men as protection. If I'm late, just wait there for me. I've got a lot of calls to make to the feds and Homeland Security in the interim. But let's assume one thing. Mr. H is back, and we are in severe danger." 3 years ago, Hayden was reassigned to the Pentagon from the Army. Back then, he was 41. He'd reached the rank of colonel at the remarkable age of 36. Even more remarkable was that he'd done so in a career spent mostly in the Special Forces community. SF may have all the thrills and action, but it's a career killer for officers. They reach a stage where if they want to be promoted, they have to leave SF and do their time in general service. That wasn't for Hayden. He was a brilliant leader and soldier, and he'd probably be a brigadier or general by now had he not resolutely stuck to his Ranger and Delta Force units. In order to progress his rapid ascendancy in the military, the Pentagon assignment was forced onto him by high command. He hated every minute of the job, wearing a suit, running a department, playing diplomatic politics. Doing all of this, when in truth, he'd have rather been on a mountainside in Afghanistan calling in an airstrike or storming Taliban caves for up-close and personal head-to-head death. Like many battle-hardened men, Hayden was difficult to read. He did the job at hand, used brilliant tactics and unflinching bravery to destroy the enemy. Yet nobody knew if he was a good man. He kept that hidden. But there was no doubting his effectiveness, or his ruthlessness. This is what scared and confused most of the others in the Berlin operation. They didn't know if he was on their side. Now three of them knew. The truth was terrible. The colonel was tall and slender, had buzz-cut silver hair, arms like entwined cables of high tensile steel, a gait that moved slowly, yet could cover 40 miles in record time with 60 pounds on his back, and a hand that was as steady as ice as it pulled a trigger and sent a projectile to the exact spot it needed to go. He was a very intelligent and highly trained killing machine, and a powerful one at that. Hayden said little and did a lot, but there was no hiding that look in his eyes. It was a 1,000-yard stare, always looking over the horizon, and the blue eyes were dead. Only the assassin Will Cochran wasn't scared of him. That's because Cochran was infinitely worse. He was the one man Hayden feared. But even Cochran didn't know where Hayden was now. The Berlin mission had happened like clockwork. Hayden tails target, Cochran shoots, proof of death confirmed, body extracted, job done. Hayden saw the shot, but he never came back to America after it happened. He vanished. 3 years later, it seemed that he'd returned to U.S. soil and was intent on killing all those involved in Germany. When on active duty, the colonel had caught some of his Delta colleagues about to conduct a summary execution of 5 Taliban prisoners. They were on an Afghan escarpment, high wind and searing heat blasting the faces of the prisoners, all of them bound and on their knees. No doubt they deserved worse than death. They'd been caught raping, pillaging, and murdering a village. The whole village would be dead were it not for the bravery of the 4-man Delta unit that was about to put bullets into the backs of their skulls. The colonel knew they'd get away with it. No one out here lived by rules. It was bandit country, the Wild West, a depraved and scorched stretch of hell where life had little meaning and death no consequence.